Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. Today, we're talking to Dr. Hayward. Dr. James Hayward is you consider yourself an inventor as well as a scientist.
Yes, perhaps scientist first, inventor second.
Okay. Now, your specialty, as where you came from, what's your basic background in your in what you're going to talk about today?
Sure. I did my PhD in biochemistry and postdoctoral fellowships in biophysics, and that's how I got here.
So you're a really smart guy.
Certified smart guy.
Certified smart guy. Okay. As opposed to me, who is a certified smart ass. So, Jim, you came up with a system that is based on DNA. But before we go on that, let's talk about what DNA is. I don't think you can talk to anybody in the street and not have them know what they've heard the term DNA. I don't think you could find one out of 100 that could give you an explanation that made any sense. Would you just give us the background on DNA and why it propelled you in the direction you went?
Sure. You'd be surprised how readily understood DNA is. When I typically lecture, I often ask for a hand raise about how many have watched more than one episode of CSI. If you've watched more than one CSI episode, you've got a forensic background, at the very least, to say. So they pick up certain elements of DNA, even if it was not via an education, just in the public media. It's a topic every day on the radio, in the news, on TV. So it's not difficult to assimilate. And our culture has come to be comfortable with the notion of content stored in ways we can't see or feel. So when you're working at your laptop, you're happy to press the save button, and you know that a file, a Word file, or a spreadsheet is being saved as various bits, and those are a string of numbers in a linear
which
array.
Most of us don't understand, but we know it works.
And you have faith in it. You know that when you hit save, it will save. And that saving is done by an array of bits. And DNA is just the same, except it's not an array of magnetic bits stored electronically or magnetically. It's a real molecule. And that molecule has locations. It's got directions. And because of that, you can use, or nature uses, the locations and the variability in those locations the same way binary code is used.
Jim, let me interrupt for a moment and ask this question on, it's really millions and millions of pieces of information, isn't it?
It's billions.
Billions. So how do we find it in that array of information and make it useful?
It's actually not hard to search for, because the benefit of DNA is the content is so extraordinarily granular. It's very, very fine detailed. So all you have to do is search for a minutia of detail, and you can find it even in a massive content compilation.
You know, I once heard, I don't know if it's true or not, that the human body has the fruit fly has 97% of the DNA that's in a human being, and could that possibly be true?
Well, I'm always amazed by those kinds of comparative biochemistries myself, and I really couldn't attest to the specific question that you're answering, but I can tell you that the differences between you and I are remarkably, remarkably small, and accounted for by just a small, small fraction of 1% of our genome, which is the total amount of bits and content in the analogy that I was giving you, which we each have.
Now, how are some of the ways that we've used that? We know we've done it forensically. We've found that certain characteristics are so unique that we can identify that Ernie Fazio did commit the crime. And
or hopefully that he did not.
Or that he, Barashek came along and destroyed the evidence. So we know about that. So you've come up with another application for identifying things.
Sure. And I'd just like to point out before you give me more credit than is due me. In fact, I've been a Long Islander for all of my life. Like a bad penny, I run off and do something someplace else for a little while, but I always come back. And I discovered this company through some colleagues here on the island. The company existed before I came along. Some folks had the basic idea, and they were located in California, actually in Hollywood, California. And I was asked to help them understand an intellectual property transaction. When I took a look at that transaction, I thought, my goodness, there is a sleeping giant here that can impact the world. And so I changed my own direction. I had just recently sold several of my own companies that were located here on the island and decided to join forces with them when they asked. Brought them back here to Stony Brook's Long Island High Technology Incubator, which was very familiar to me. I know the corridors well. And that's where we located them and kind of restructured, reinvented, repopulated the company.
When you say you reinvented, did you actually reinvent the technology or did you find ways that you can use the technology?
Well, in fact, the reinvention is not on me. I have the good fortune to lead an incredible team. And so all of the reinvention has been done by a team. And I hate to overuse the analogy, but it's like a flock of geese. There is never a single leader in a flock of geese, nor in a truly translational or highly cooperative laboratory. So whoever's at bat, whoever knows the most, steps up and leads for that particular moment.
Yeah.
And then leadership can go to somebody else.
You know, just as an aside, I had a friend of mine whose father was a band leader, and the band was the Peter Perosi band, except that when somebody else brought in the client, it was the Hank Samuelson band.
You know? Well, our decision
by giving people credit for the work that they do at any given time, you keep that motivation going too.
There's no other way. The credit is there. So we have a wonderful team of people here, and that gives me the opportunity to point out why here, why Long Island.
Yeah, why Long Island?
There is not a more perfect place for a company whose focus is DNA to be really in the world. Stop to think about it. We have perhaps some 7 or 8 miles north of where you and I are sitting. We have Stony Brook University, one of the leading universities in the world, certainly on this coast, with a great life science research program and stupendous scientists, many of them either in the heart of or on the periphery of DNA. Then 15 miles west of there, we have Cold Spring Harbor, celebrating the 60th anniversary of Jim Watson's discovery of the basic structure and function of DNA.
Jim Watson's son is going to be at the book review in Huntington later this month.
Oh, tremendous. That's meaningful, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And to the east of us, another 15 miles, we have Brookhaven National Labs. So we really have...
It's a playground. It's a wonderful place.
An incredible DNA corridor that runs along the center of the island. And the irony is that is matched, of course, by what was the defense corridor And our own company sits really at the border of both of those, working both in defense on the island as well as DNA.
You know, in our next segment, I think what we want to talk about is how that part of that in defense, because that's always a big, that was always a big item on Long Island.
Yep.
And so, you know, maybe we can go into that a little bit further when we go talking again.
Sure, happy to.
So what's the... what next is, where are you in terms of developing the product or the science, I should say?
Well, the science is extremely well-founded. It's pretty simple, actually. It may not appear that way, but typically all good things that make their way from the science bench to commerce are in their basis.
Simple. We're going to take a break right now, Jim. This is Ernie Fazio. This is Earnestly Speaking. We're talking to Dr. James Hayward, and he's talking about the company that he leads. And we'll be back in a moment.